Good morning, everyone. You can be seated. Thank you, praise team. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just come to you and thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the privilege to gather together today, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that we've been able to spend these last several weeks looking into the subject of parenting, seeking to parent with your directions and to care for well these children that you've entrusted to us. And we pray that you would guide us this day and in the future, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. This is our sixth week in our 10-week series on parenting. And our theme verse is from Psalm 127, verse 3, where we're told that children are a gift of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. And many times our culture doesn't embrace that, but that is the truth from God's word. Just as a review before we get going today, these are the big ideas from the last several weeks. We looked at early on the importance of focusing on issues of the heart. We talked about how we can address behavior, but it's much more important to address the heart because out of the heart flow all of the behaviors. And we talked about that love for God and His Word is the best foundation that we can build into our children because they are, as we are, everyone made to worship. We're all made to worship, but we are not neutral. We're either going to learn to love and worship God, or we'll love and worship idols, other idols in our lives. We looked at the fact that we as parents are in charge. We're God's agent functioning on His behalf. And there's one big goal, and that is to lead children to glorify God and then be able to enjoy Him forever. The last couple of weeks, we look at the methods of parenting, being communication and the rod, that they are very much paired together, and that communication without the rod is ineffective, but the use of the rod without communication is abusive. And so if you've missed those first foundational weeks, we really want to encourage you, catch up. You can go on the website at elfridabaptist.org and catch up on those messages, because all those messages build on one another. And I hope that you've gotten the sense from those of us that have shared these last few weeks that we don't want to come as if we have it all together and that we have parented always perfectly. We come humbly, and we do not come with a judgmental attitude, but we desire to look into God's Word and see what He says, principles for parenting, and share some wisdom on how we see that being applied in parenting. And each of us, I know myself, have learned through the study. We have reviewed some good things, and if we could go back and parent again, all our kids are grown up and out of the house, I know that Cindy and I would do a few things differently. And so with that, there is some excitement in being able to share these things. And if you still have kids at home, this is an exciting time to parent. You may not feel like that every day of the week, but because it's not an easy time, is it? But I really am excited to share these things because I believe that these principles are life-changing. They're life-changing for parents, for kids, and for families as a whole. And so this morning we're going to look at parenting from infancy to childhood. This would be from birth to about age 4 or 5. And we know these are said to be formative years. We hear that said all the time. These are formative years. The primary characteristic of these first 5 years of life is change, huge change. You think about the physical change from the day you bring a child home. The child can't stand up, little baby, certainly can't sit up, can't even hold his or her neck up. You have to support that neck when you hold them. And then, you know, in a matter of a few months, they begin to be able to hold that neck up, and then they're sitting up and crawling, and then by the time they're 4 or 5 years old, they're running around and you can hardly keep up with them, jumping around. Tremendous physical change. Socially, at birth, the child is introduced to his or her mother. And then that social interaction expands to the immediate family and the extended family. And then there's friends. And by the time the child is 4 or 5 years old, those children will have their own friends. Tremendous time of social change. Intellectual as well. How many of your kids, you bring them home and they are talking from the first day? Nope, nobody. Okay. Yeah, they communicate with crying. That's mainly it those first weeks and months. Maybe that progresses on to grunting and pointing and things like this, but then it's single words and then sentences, and then you can hardly get a word in edgewise. Tremendous amount of intellectual growth. Humor. Isn't that interesting? You can see humor in a child from the time they're little, just a toddler. Their humor starts to come out. Kids are curious. They want to learn. Cindy's got two brothers. Her older brother is David, and it's joked that his first two words were spark plug. As a small kid, he's taking engines apart. He wants to know how things work, and so we're incredibly curious. Children are intellectually learning values. They're learning what dad values, what mom values, and they're starting to develop this sense of what they should value as well. And spiritually, our kids are always learning. They're developing, particularly in these first few years. They're either going to be led to know and love and worship God, or they'll be led in some way to worship and serve lesser gods with a little g. So these first 5 years, they're obviously very, very formative years. And in these years, we have two primary training objectives we're going to look at this morning. And that would be to understand authority and to communicate the gospel message. And when we understand or we teach our children to understand authority, this really should have a Godward focus. Because everyone, all children, each one of us, everyone in the world, we are individuals, whether we know it or not, under God's authority. And the Bible speaks of this proper fear that we should have for God, that everyone should embrace. He is the Creator. He's holy. He's perfect. He is the righteous judge. He knows our thoughts. He sees everything we do. There's nothing that we do in secret from Almighty God. And our culture, on the other hand, seems to continuously discourage any kind of respect or fear of authority. We're not taught naturally to fear and respect authority, but actually to disrespect that and to fight against that. But in Psalm 111, verse 10, the psalmist writes, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And that phrase is repeated many times throughout the Psalms and Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who follow his commandments have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And when we teach our children to rightly fear the Lord, to understand that they are under God's authority, we're setting them up that they would lead a life of wisdom, that they would have that ability to have understanding, and in that to joyfully join in on praising the glorious God forever. Psalm 112, verse 1 also says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." And contrary to popular belief, fearing God is not oppressive, but it brings blessing, and it brings delight or joy. Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27, we read, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life by which one may avoid the snares of death." So in these first 5 years, we need to have this primary, this overarching objective that we are training our kids to understand the authority in their own lives, that we are all individuals under God's authority. But the second primary training objective is to communicate the gospel message. And remember, as we've looked at discipline, we've talked about communicating as an integral part of that discipline. Why is it the training objective to communicate the gospel to our kids? Well, to understand that, we need to review our own condition as mankind. We need to have in view the condition that we have as parents, because our children, we share the same condition with them. And that is that we are sinners, and our children are sinners. And if you doubt that, put a group of 2-year-olds in a room to play together and just watch them for 5 minutes, maybe not even that, and it becomes obvious. I came across some property laws of a toddler. I don't think this is an official document. It may have been submitted to the U.S. government, but I don't think it's been accepted yet. Anyway, property laws of a toddler. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. If it's broken, it's yours. And that's how toddlers are, aren't they? It doesn't take long to see the sin welling up in our little kids' hearts. And this is why a lot of, I'm convinced, nurseries, preschools, and schools, they have a first aid kit that's up on the wall, right? That's necessary. So we're communicating the gospel message. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And as sinners, we have earned death for ourselves. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And because of our sin, we're all under condemnation. And outside of salvation in Christ, we don't have hope to escape God's judgment. I'm sure that many of us, all of us, know the famous song, Amazing Grace. In the second verse of Amazing Grace, it starts off, it says, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." Why did John Newton write that? I believe he was expressing what Paul was inspired to write to the Romans. And we don't have time to do a long study on Romans, obviously, today, but if we were to look through there, we see that in the first several chapters, there's this message that God, in his goodness, he teaches men and women and boys and girls to rightfully fear him. And then there's a look at the law and the fact that the law brings about this knowledge of sin. And that we are all under God's authority, and because of that sin, we are under his righteous judgment. That comes out over and over in his first several chapters of Romans there. So we have reason to fear. "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." And that last part is expressing the gospel. That Jesus didn't leave us. God provided Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And that is good news, that we can be reconciled. We can be redeemed because the redemption price has been paid already. But the good news, it's not recognized as good unless we recognize the bad news first, that in our sin we are condemned. And thankfully, we can share with our kids this message that they can come to Christ and they can receive his gift of forgiveness. And then their fears will totally and completely be relieved. So in our discipline, we need to bring children to the point where they know God's laws and they can recognize that they have broken God's laws in order that they might see their need for him. And children who are disciplined well using biblically centered communication in the rod, they are better able to understand the gospel, and that's a great thing. If they're taught God's words to obey their parents, and they're also led to understand through that they are selfish, that they have sinful desires, they're led to see their need for the gospel as well. Because the gospel, think about this, the gospel can seem irrelevant to the child who has never been required to do anything outside of what he's already wanted to do. The gospel can also seem irrelevant to the arrogant child that's never been told there's anything wrong with him. He's only ever been told how wonderful he or she is. But on the other hand, the gospel can be seen as very relevant to the child who knows that God calls him to do something that is outside his natural ability and that is in his own sinfulness, that he can't fulfill God's law. Cindy and I have three children, and our oldest is Ashley, and when she was about 4.5 years old, there was a day This happened many times, but she disobeyed. It was something that she had been told not to do, and she disobeyed her mother. And in the time of discipline after that, Ashley, she began to feel this regret in her own heart for what she had done. She was frustrated. And she asked my wife, she said, "Mom, can I ever not sin anymore?" That was the question that came out. And it was the question that sprang from many times of discipline, many times giving the spanking and communicating. And Ashley asked the question because she knew, she had become convinced that she was a sinner and she needed the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, after that question came up and the conversation that followed, she placed her faith in Jesus Christ as her Savior. And so we have seen this principle being very effective, that children that are disciplined well are more open to understand and accept the gospel. So we looked at these two primary training objectives. Let's talk about training in the day-to-day now. Training in the day-to-day requires keeping the child in the circle of blessing. And we're going to look in a moment at Ephesians chapter 6. If you'd like to turn there, that'll be our focal verse for this section here, Ephesians chapter 6. But we need to keep in mind that we're on a rescue mission as parents. I think Jeff brought that out last week, that we are rescuing our kids from danger and bringing them to safety. Proverbs chapter 5, there is this conversation between a dad and his son. And the father is warning the son. And you see this picture of what happens to a man who's never learned to be under God's authority. Listen to Proverbs chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. The father says to the son, "You will groan in the end, and when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, 'How I hated instruction, and my heart disdainfully rejected rebuke. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers, nor incline my ear to my instructors.'" That's a very sad statement to be made by someone that's never learned to be under God's authority. So we are on a rescue mission. Let's look at Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Paul writes here, and he's writing to this church in Ephesus. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well, may turn out well for you, and that you may live long on the earth." And this is a passage, this verse is repeated several times in the Old Testament, and here Paul applies it to the Christian family in telling the kids, obey your parents in the Lord. And so we have this, there's a diagram that we'll put up here where there's this circle of safety, this circle of blessing, where if the child is honoring and obeying his or her parents, there's the promise of long life and that things will go well. But as soon as disobedience and dishonor come out, the child is moved out of that circle of blessing, and there will be difficulty and hardship. And at the bottom here, we see it's our discipline, it's our correction that brings the child back into that circle of blessing. So the first promise there is to live long life on the earth. And this is a general principle. It doesn't mean that everyone that dies young has dishonored their parents. But certainly when children are led to obey and honor their parents, they're going to escape a life that's filled with all kinds of dangerous, life-threatening activities. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but have your heart comply with my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." And that's a wonderful thing. Children can live in peace when they're living in a home with good godly discipline. They'll also have things go well for the child. And we might add, this child's going to grow up to be an adult, and it doesn't take too many years. It happens so quickly, it seems. And oftentimes we see things going well and that they are esteemed by others. Continuing on in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God and man." So many times we see children that have learn discipline, learn to live under God's authority and the God-given authority in their lives, they're respected and trusted by their teachers. Later on, they grow up, and in the workplace, they're respected and trusted by their employers as well. And they're honored by others. Proverbs 3:35 tells us, "The wise will inherit honor, but fools increase dishonor." So what does it mean to honor? It means that the child will treat the parents with respect and esteem them because of their position of authority. And as parents, we teach our children to honor us by requiring of them, but we also teach honor by displaying honor in the home. A father honors his wife, and a mother honors her husband, and parents honor the children. And that has a lot to do with not being harsh. And so honor can be a central theme in the home. What is obedience? Obedience is hard to see happen all the time, continuously. But we think about it and boil it right down. Obedience is simply doing what you're told without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. And I know when our kids were at home, we struggled with this one. There were many a times that we accepted challenges. We accepted excuses. And we accepted the delays. But anytime we do that, and we're not truly requiring obedience, we are allowing our children to move out of that circle of blessing. And if we accept any other response, we're actually training our kids to disobey. So training in the day-to-day requires keeping the child in the circle of blessing. And we do that by being consistent. We need to avoid enforcing sometimes, but not other times. And we struggle with that as well. We went through cycles where we would do things pretty well. We were diligent to discipline, and our kids, they were obedient, and we felt pretty good. And then they didn't need so much discipline. And so then after a few weeks, though, their obedience started to taper off, and we didn't realize it. We became lax. We weren't disciplining them well, and they began more and more disobedient as time went on. And then one day we would just realize we have a problem. We've got three problems. They all have three different names. So it got our attention, and then we were diligent to discipline well again. And they became obedient, and life was great, and then the cycle would repeat, unfortunately. So consistency is so critical in this endeavor of parenting. And we need to remember that it is so important to require obedience consistently. We are God's agents. We're acting on His behalf, not on ours. And teaching requires teaching to obey requires teaching our children to respond to our voice. And many times, we do things that don't teach our kids how to respond to our voice. Some may ask, what if my child says, "But I didn't hear you"? Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah, very, very common. Usually, that's just an excuse. I say usually because I've got a younger brother. His name is Dennis as well. And when Dennis was a little guy, I think he was about 3 years old, back in that day, these friendship beads were all the rage. And my sister had a bunch of these friendship beads. You make bracelets and necklaces out of them, give them away to friends. My brother got into her friendship bead stash, and he started sticking them in his ears. You know, he had a couple in one ear and three in the other. And my parents were realizing that Dennis wasn't really listening to them, it didn't seem. And they kind of wondered, maybe there's something going on with his ears. He doesn't seem like he hears us. So there was a routine doctor's visit that came up, checkup for Dennis, and my mom goes in there with him, and doctor says, "Hey, how's Dennis doing?" "Oh, pretty well, but he might have something going on with his ears. He just didn't seem to be listening very well." "Okay, let's take a look." You know, you pull out the little scope, and the doctor started pulling out these beads, and you know, after that, he was wonderful. He could hear again, but that is an exception. You know, usually kids say, "I didn't hear you." It is just an excuse. And I know as a child, myself, my brother and sister, we were skill manipulators. There is an emphasis over and over again in the Proverbs about listening, children listening to parents. I looked, and there were 23 times. We're not going to look at them all this morning. We'll just look at 22 of them. Just two. Proverbs 7:24. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. And in Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept discipline so that you may be wise the rest of your days. It's so important to teach children to listen because out of that, they're going to gain wisdom. And we need to, as I said, train our children to respond to our voice. And that is, if discipline only follows us making threats, maybe asking the question of, do you want to get a spanking? If discipline only follows counting to three or raising the voice, then we haven't taught our children to respond to our voice. So we teach our children to respond to our voice by just using a normal voice, like I'm speaking now, in the same room or in the general vicinity, giving them a directive and then requiring obedience. Otherwise, discipline is given. And that trains to respond to the voice. It's important, we found, to get eye contact many times. Children can be focusing on something. Maybe they're looking at a book or playing with something, and they're just so focused on that. Get their eye contact so you know that they are focused on you and they can listen. Maybe put a hand on the shoulder to get their attention. But then give the directive and require obedience. If we struggle with being consistent and disciplined, it's good to ask some questions. And this has a future view in mind. Ask the question, what if my son or daughter doesn't learn to submit to God's rule? What will their life be like 30 years from now? What kind of a husband will he turn out to be? Or what kind of a wife will she turn out to be? What kind of an employee will he or she be if they never learn to submit to authority? And then we can look even further into the future in that and say, what kind of grandchildren will I have if they're raised by an adult who as a child never learned to submit to authority? Because learning submission is crucial. After submission is learned, there can be, we can teach a process of appeal to our children, how to do that respectfully. And that could look like these being the general guidelines for that. Children must begin to obey immediately, not after the appeal. The child must appeal in a respectful manner, and they must be prepared to obey either way, whatever the answer is, with a gracious attitude. Training in the day-to-day also requires leading by example. And you and I, as adults, we can lead by our example of submission, and that is important. How do we submit to others in our life? How do we submit to our boss? How do we submit to police? You ever been pulled over by a police officer before? How do we submit to government, etc.? And our attitudes to the authority in our own lives set the example. They set the tone for biblical submission with our children. We can also lead by example in other ways. There was a group of kids, 10-year-olds, in a Sunday school class that years ago. They expressed their views of what is wrong with grown-ups like this. They said, grown-ups make promises. Then they forget all about them, or else they say it wasn't really a promise, just a maybe. These are 10-year-olds here. They went on, they said, grown-ups don't do the things they're always telling the children to do, like pick up their things, or be neat, or always tell the truth. That's so convicting. And then they said, grown-ups make mistakes, but they won't admit them. They always pretend that they weren't mistakes at all, or that someone else made them. So we can lead by example with our kids in so many different ways, and that is important. We also, in this training of the day-to-day, we need to do it right the first time. We've used this foundation illustration already that we are building that foundation of biblical submission into our children. And eventually, that's going to lead them to have true freedom in Christ. We shouldn't waste time sugarcoating directives. Children that only obey when something sounds fun or they're agreeable to it, it's what they want to do anyway, that's not obedience. It's not submission, but it's just living in agreement. And if we make submission to authority only that which can be accomplished by natural man with natural abilities, we will take away the recognized need for God's grace in our children's lives. So it's important to do it right the first time. We're going to look at some training procedures here. In these early years, these first 5 years, the use of the rod is critical. We talked about that's coupled with good communication. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." We need lots of communication. But young children don't respond to words alone. But a spanking gets their attention. And we've looked at that in weeks past. When to spank? Anytime a child has not obeyed without challenge, without excuse, and without delay to a directive that they have heard and understood, and it's time to discipline. How to spank? We're going to look at a step-by-step approach that couples this paired approach of communication and the rod. And Jake shared the communication method message 2 weeks ago. He talked about Proverbs 23:13-19, and certainly there are many proverbs where we see this picture. We see a parent giving lots of communication, words of wisdom to a child. And the spanking part, I want us to see, is not the emphasis here. It's the communication. So our advice in this is a process that we use as our family, is go to a private place. This is not the time to rob a child of their dignity. It's not a time to embarrass them in front of others. And by going to a private place, it communicates, this is a serious matter. You've disobeyed, and this is serious. By going to a private place, we also give the opportunity that there's not going to be distractions for the child. They can focus on what mom or dad is saying. They're not going to be distracted with what's going on outside the room. Tell the child specifically what they've done or failed to do. Remember the three D's: disobedience, disrespect, or deceit. These are the things we discipline for. And the younger the child is, the more specific we need to be. And then we need to lead the child to acknowledge the offense. They need to recognize what they did or failed to do. And then, so important, communicate to the child, you're not angry. You're not angry, but you are being obedient to God, and you are trying to bring them back into that circle of blessing because they're in a dangerous place. It's important to tell the child how many swats to expect. They know that mom or dad is controlled in this. And if they're wearing a diaper or thick clothing, it may be good to take the extra layers off. If that is done, do that the last possible moment. Return the extra layers immediately after you're done. But laying the child across the lap, not across an inanimate object like a bed or a chair, puts the spanking in the context of the parent-child relationship. And the spanking only lasts just a few seconds. After spanking, so important, this is the time to affirm your love. Give a hug. Let them know how much it hurt you to spank them. Let them know about your hope that it never happens again. Jeff was joking about this earlier with Joshua. He told him that as a young guy, right? Maybe told him too early. But yes, this is always our hope, that we're not going to have to do this again. Affirm this to the child. And at this point, there should be complete restoration. And we have found this pattern of discipline to work very well with our kids. It's amazing how many times they go from this defiant disobedience, nasty, dishonoring attitudes, and in a matter of a few minutes, they are genuinely at peace with themselves, totally restored in their relationships. But if there is not complete restoration, maybe the child is angry, good time to stop and ask some questions. Something is wrong. We need to check ourselves. Were we too harsh? Did we express anger in this time of discipline? Was there not enough communication? Also check the child spirit. Sometimes children can still reject your discipline. Children can try to punish you for what you've done. And so if restoration hasn't occurred, take some time, address whatever the issue is. But then after this, it's time, once a restoration has occurred, to communicate truth. Spend some time talking with the child. Remember that rod and communication go hand in hand. The spanking's gotten the attention, and now it's time to communicate biblical truths. And this is a really good time to impress upon the child the gospel message. The message that we need God's grace in our lives. Mommy and Daddy needs God's grace, and you need God's grace as well. And give them that encouragement with the gospel message that Christ came because we are people who sin. And it's only through faith that we can come to a place of forgiveness and a right relationship with God. And then close it off with a time of praying with the child. So important. We are always training. We can either train well or we can train poorly. We either use biblical methods of the rod paired with communication, or we'll choose a worldly way, which eventually will lead the child to become selfish manipulators. And as we close, sometimes parents ask, well, what if it's too late? This all sounds great, but what if it's too late? That's a natural feeling. Sometimes we don't become aware of these biblical parenting principles until our children are already past these first several years. And it's definitely easier to discipline correctly at the start of a child's life, but anytime we can start doing it right, it's not too late. We're building a foundation. A few years ago, Joshua and Jenna bought a house. They told us about their foundation issues with that house. They spent a lot of time taking an existing foundation and making it right. Cindy and I have some good friends, Jim and Suzanne. Years ago, they bought a house. They knew it had a bad foundation. And they went in, and Jim, it had this drive-in basement built into a hill. He bought a backhoe, pulled it into that garage, jacked up the house, leveled it all out. He spent hours meticulously digging, shoring up that foundation, and making it how it should have been in the start. And in the end, the family had a house that they felt safe in. It wasn't crumbling down around them. It was a house that they enjoyed. So if you find yourself with a foundation that's not been done right, and I know Cindy and I have done this before, when we realized we went through those cycles, we weren't disciplining well, we'd sit down with our kids, explain what we've learned, explained how we failed. See, this is not the emphasis on the child, it's the emphasis on the parent. Confess what we've done wrong and point out the fact that they have missed out. And it's my fault. And seek their forgiveness. Give specific direction then and talk about needed changes, how you're going to be doing things differently. And explain how they will need to respond to your commands in the future and how you will respond to disobedience in the future. It's important not to only view the Bible as a way to get your kids to obey and be nice to live with, but be biblical in all of our life and be patient. Realize we are in a struggle. We are in a struggle against the spiritual forces of evil. We need to pray and seek God's help. It's only with His enabling, His empowerment, that we can endeavor to live and parent biblically. And we can have our children join with us in the journey that we are on and focus on knowing God. And in time, peace will become a natural byproduct of that time, that focus on God. So this morning we've looked at several requirements of training the day-to-day. And ultimately, we as parents are called to be an authority on God's behalf over our children. We need to train them to be in submission to God. And in doing that, children can be prepared to understand the gospel message and respond in faith. Let's close in prayer. Father, it's a big task to parent. But we thank you that we have your loving example in our own lives as our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that you would give us continual wisdom, because we've just talked about a few scenarios maybe this morning, and the truth is that it takes seeking you in the day-to-day activities to know how best to lead our children, to recognize your authority in their life. We pray that you give us wisdom in that, that you would bless our families, growing our families, and we just thank you for the privilege that we can have to see children growing up to be adults that are in love with you. They are enamored with Almighty God and your goodness in their lives. That's such a privilege. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing one final song, Lord, Reign in Me. Amen. Well, as parents, we have a responsibility with God's empowering to keep our children inside that circle of blessing. And if you've got kids at home, regardless of their age, I hope that you've been encouraged this morning that there is great hope in Christ. And I hope that you have been encouraged to join God in that rescue mission, rescuing our kids while we parent biblically. Because children are a gift from God. And they truly are a reward. I hope you have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you back next time. You're dismissed.